Monday's regularly scheduled gathering of the CBS Board of Directors comes after a bombshell New Yorker report on Friday.
New allegations of sexual harassment and misconduct at CBS at the highest levels and the culture that allowed the behavior.
Media mogul Les Moonves now answering to those allegations against him. It comes as the broader culture of CBS is being criticized and the network vows an investigation.
Hashtag Me Too. This time, it's CBS. On Friday, allegations of years of sexual harassment by Les Moonves, chief executive of CBS, were made public in a New Yorker investigation by Ronan Farrow. Moonves is one of the most powerful figures in media, managing both the talent and the business side of CBS. The New Yorker investigation describes sexual harassment alleged by six women against Moonves, including actor Ileana Douglas. Koa Beck is the editor-in-chief of Jezebel, and she's helped The Takeaway navigate our coverage of the Me Too movement.
Very early on in this movement, in the fall, there was a call for, you know, increased sexual harassment training, and we need to beef that up, and that needs to be a big part of how we assess and sort of deal with predators in the workplace. Myself and Jessica Bennett, who's been on this program with me, we've been across a lot of data regarding sexual harassment and how impactful it isn't. And what was really telling about Farrow's reporting here is that they had this in place. A really important detail about that reporting was that I believe it was like female assistants were basically taking the sexual harassment trainings online for their male bosses. So they had systems in place, but clearly not effective ones if the very senior male alleged predators in charge are not even held accountable for taking it.
And so in the piece, I mean, when you read this piece, having covered this movement and as a woman in media yourself, when you read this, I mean, I hate to say I wasn't surprised, but I was sort of like, really, here we are again.
Yeah. Again, I keep to the fact that, you know, we now have a script for this sort of thing.
So tell us, what is that? When you say there's a script, what does that mean?
So I would say the similarities here with other investigative reporting that we've seen, very prominent man at the top who has been praying essentially as an open secret within his industry for many, many years. There's a pattern of abuse, a pattern of the type of victim that's chosen, what that victim has on the line, what they're expecting, and then their fear of retaliation. That's very systemic and a prominent script now. Also, I would say another really valuable piece of this reporting and other incredible reporting we've seen through this movement is that even though there is one extremely powerful predator at the top, there are many, 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 many people who enabled this. And I think that's what the strongest reporting in this movement has revealed. We're talking about an HR department that doesn't work, a number of senior people within the company who know and also potentially pray themselves or are aware of it and aren't really in a position to do anything or choose not to for fear of their own retaliation. Also, the sort of whisper network that we've seen now across a lot of reporting, a lot of women knew, a lot of women told each other. The fact that, so I believe there's six victims total in Farrow's piece, and the fact that they all told someone is really consistent and told a couple of people closest to them. I would say a piece where this deviates is the fact that the piece gets into one investigative outlet, you could argue, killing reporting by another investigative outlet.
And tell us about that. We're talking about the Washington Post, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So a piece of Farrow's reporting asserts that CBS News, upon hearing that they were being investigated on a large scale, so not just one particular predator, but basically having roots and roots of sexual harassment within the company, were aware that the Washington Post was reporting something on this. Ronan Farrow's reporting asserts that through some negotiation with lawyers, which I work in media, and anytime you do any investigative piece on this scale, you will inevitably sit down with counsel and they will, you know, navigate basically the claims and in some respect, like oversee the comments that you get, comment from who's being investigated, you know, that sort of thing. And Ronan's reporting asserts that through some, you know, communication that happened between the Washington Post lawyers and CBS, that basically the bigger expose about this being a systemic problem in CBS was killed. And the piece just focused on Charlie Rose. Mm-hmm. To me, sitting in media, that's not terribly surprising, but I think that's important for broader people to see, and also, you know, people who are experiencing this movement not within, you know, the isolation of my industry. Ronan cites a really big piece of Erin Carmone's speech as she was accepting an award. Erin is a Jezebel alum, and she talks about how there are many, many people in place who are protecting the system and protecting these predators.
Why? Why, Koa?
I would argue, sitting here, that it's because people, male and female, have aligned a lot with this particular system of power. So if you're talking about dismantling a system in which sexual harassment has been overlooked, sexual abuse has been overlooked, so many people have a lot invested in maintaining that in terms of their own credibility and in terms of things that they might have seen that they've looked the other way on. And we're also talking about, you know, certain women who have gotten ahead in that climate and don't necessarily want to be held accountable or don't think that they should have.
Are we at a fatigue point right now with the Me Too movement stories, or is this something that we've now accepted as just going to be part of the national conversation around media?
You know, had you asked me 6 months ago, and I think you actually have record of me saying this on air, I was concerned about fatigue, particularly as a journalist and also as somebody who was fostering these stories and trying to present them in the most impactful way. I mean, we're closing in on a year this fall. I hope it keeps going, but I hope it continues to go beyond just prominent men being fired and that being deemed just very open and shut. Another thing I'm waiting for is more nuance in these conversations, and that's something that myself and the editors and the staff writers talk about a lot, is when Me Too for Racists is going to get off the ground.
Well, that's a conversation. When that starts happening, we'll definitely have you back on the show. Because you can imagine race and gender at the same time. Shocking, I know.
Yeah, so it's complicated for
much,
people.
All too much. Koa Beck is the editor-in-chief of Jezebel. Koa, thanks again for your insights today.
Thank you, Tanzina.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.